Welcome to the Sunny Hill podcast. This message was recorded at our Poole campus. For more information about service times and locations, please visit sunnyhill.church.
So today we're talking about the blessed life. Really, God began to speak to me about this when we were doing the Smashing It series. Because I just got this sense in my heart that God was saying some people that call Sunny Hill home don't believe that God wants them to be blessed. And that's a problem for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so today, I'm going to start building, not an argument because that sounds negative, but I'm going to start trying to explore this idea of blessing, because I wholeheartedly believe the more I study scripture, the more I see that God wants you to walk in total blessing. So maybe you've got a religious bone in your body. You're going to struggle with this word, and I'm really cool with that, okay? I want you to struggle with it because God wants you to walk in blessing. Why? Because God wants you to be a blessing. The purpose of blessing flowing from heaven into your world is that you would flow into the world of other people who don't know Jesus and bring blessing into their world. But who knows that you can't give what you don't have? Only four people know that. You can't give what you don't have. So it's imperative that you understand your inheritance to walk in blessing, because you cannot bless unless you know you are blessed. If you're still struggling with this, right, Jesus came 2,000 years ago, God incarnate, God on earth, in flesh, human man, fully God, fully man. And he, after 30 years of living a normal life as just a carpenter's son in a small town, growing up with his siblings, kind of not really getting into trouble because he was perfect. We spoke about that a few weeks ago. It must have been a nightmare being his brother. You know, James, why can't you be more like Jesus? He's awesome. But actually, what's interesting is that in year 30, he gets up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 and speaks a message that's going to change everything for us, right? That actually Jesus, what we call, preaches the Sermon on the Mount by the Sea of Galilee. Now, you probably don't realize, but this is an area where all revolutionaries stood up and proclaimed the vision of the cause that they were kind of launching. Because if the authorities got wind, they could run off into the hills and hide. Yet Jesus gets up in Matthew 5, 6, and 7, and he's bringing a revolutionary message. Now, the interesting thing about the message that Jesus brings, which is his essentially kingdom manifesto. Who likes manifestos? That's a good word, isn't it? Who likes the conservative manifestos? Nah. But Jesus comes and brings a message, right? Matthew 5, 6, and 7. And Jesus actually doesn't unpick deep areas of doctrine. And it doesn't untangle kind of tricky areas of theology. Actually, what he speaks about is life. Jesus comes and launches his kingdom and his ministries by talking about marriage, talking about relationships, talking about how you steward wealth, talking about, you know, what you do with idols and how you bring them down. Talks about, like, what it is to be blessed. In fact, the whole Sermon on the Mount starts like this. Blessed are those. That word translates into happy. Jesus, believe it or not, wants you to be happy. See, Richard's on board. He wants you to be blessed in your mimi. He wants you to know blessing in the deep part of your mimi, yeah? It's getting better. You're happy in your mimi. But it's true. What Richard says is true. Because happiness speaks over circumstances and situations. And so when Jesus speaks about being blessed, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's just like skipping through life like it's no problem at all. Because actually, God knows you can be blessed in difficulty. God knows you can be blessed in hardship. In fact, the most precious metals are forged in the fire. You know, as a father, of course, I want my kids to be happy. But I also sometimes need to show them that life isn't always sweetness in life. And for their growth, sometimes I have to be a good father. So to take things out of their life that is going to mature their character and ensure that they grow to maturity. But even in that, you can know blessing. Because blessing is so much greater than money. So when I talk about the blessed life, I'm not talking about the wealthy, rich life, although that can be a component of blessing for sure, and I have no problem with that. I'm speaking about something much greater. In fact, we've got two Mexican students with our house at the moment, which is amazing because they're like, hola. And everything they say, even when they're kind of fighting, it just sounds so friendly, which is so different to Germans, isn't it? Because we've had German students up until this point where even if they ask for like some cereal, like, any Germans in the house today? Thank God for that. Because they probably won't come next week. Just mental note, take that out for second service. But it's true, Germans just sound angry all the time. Even when they're saying, how are you doing? They're like, forget it. They move on. But Mexicans, they're like, hola, amigo. And even if they're angry, oh, mi amigo. Hola. But there are two words. See, I loved it the other day when they said to Luis, si, señorita. And I was like, are you coming on to my wife right now? Because you just sound so romantically charged. But I love having Mexicans in our house. And the other day, we're kind of speaking through Google Translate. You put the phone on the table and you can have a conversation and Mrs. Google kind of reinterprets what's being said. And they said, are you millionaires? That's the question they asked us because I think they looked at me and thought, he must be loaded because he looks so sharp. And I says, no, I said, we're richer. And their eyes went, oh. I said, we're blessed. So often people reduce blessing to wealth. But you could be the wealthiest person in the world financially and still be in poverty relationally. Blessing is the shalom of God. It's the favor of God that follows you through life. In the Psalms, it says, goodness and mercy follow me all the days of my life. So many of us posture our lives as though we're trying to pursue the blessing of God. But God says, no, the blessing of God just follows you because of who you are. Don't believe me. Turn to Deuteronomy. We're going to jump into the Old Testament. This is amazing. Deuteronomy 28. If you don't have your Bibles, it's going to be on the Bible in the sky, right up there. Right? Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Let me give you context. This is Moses speaking to the people in the wilderness. Moses was called by God to lead the Israelites out of slavery in Egypt. He was calling them into a new future, into a new destiny. Out of slavery into a land of abundance. Out of being subject to masters to becoming masters of their future. Instead of building things for another empire, building things for their future, God was calling them into Canaan. In Egypt, they knew hard toil, but in Canaan, they knew that God was saying, this place is flowing with milk and honey. There's going to be an abundance for you. But unfortunately, Moses wasn't going to be able to enter Canaan, the promised land. So even though he's been leading the people for 40 years, he wasn't going to be able to enter Canaan. Anyone know why? He hit the rock. At least there's one sanctified holy person in the church that reads the Bible. Disobedience. Disobedience disqualified him from the destiny that God had for him. And so now in Deuteronomy 28, if you like, Moses is giving this inspiring talk and message to the people. And it's really, by the end of this chapter, the people are starting to transition from the wilderness into Canaan. So the activity is already happening. And Moses is kind of scribing something down, speaking something out, so that they can walk into their future with some promises. And so Moses begins to speak what many Bible scholars call the Abrahamic blessing. The blessing that was on Abraham and his seed. And Moses says this, right? Chapter 28. This is a brilliant thing. You're going to want to highlight this in your Bible. You might want to cut it. Don't cut it out. Borrow someone else's Bible, cut it out, put it on your fridge, okay? It says this, if you fully obey the Lord your God. If you fully obey the Lord your God. I think this is so insightful when you consider the context. Because Moses had learned the hard way the price of disobedience. And so now Moses, as he's giving this Abrahamic blessing, he's saying, listen, if you fully obey the Lord. Whenever you see a Bible text that begins with if, it means there's a decision to make. If you, in other words, I've got to make a choice here today, right? If you fully obey the Lord your God and carefully follow all his commands I give you today, the Lord your God will set you high above all the nations on the earth. In other words, you're not going to be like you were in Egypt, subjugated to another nation. You're going to come out on Trump. You're going to come out on tops. Verse 2, all these blessings will come on you and accompany you if you obey. Everyone say obey. If you obey the Lord your God, you will be blessed in the city. I love this. Check this. You will be blessed in the city and blessed in the country. Maybe you don't need to go to London for that wage. Just a thought. If it's ruining your family, maybe God can bless you just as well endorse it. Just a thought. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks, your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. In other words, your kids are going to be blessed. Your work is going to be blessed. Your bank account is going to be blessed. Verse 6, you will be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. Some of you don't know whether you're coming or going, but you're blessed anyways. You're blessed when you're coming in, blessed when you're going out. The Lord will grant the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. Every enemy that you're coming up face to face, toe to toe with right now in your life, it may look like a person, but make no mistake about it. Your battle is not against the person. It's against the spirit of darkness that is driving the agenda of the person you're coming up against. And God is saying, listen, the Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction. I love this. But flee from you in seven. Out of here. Oh, I'm going to go and get him today. I'm going to go and ruin his day. I'm going to get right into his head. I'm going to speak into his mindset. I'm going to speak into his attitude. I'm going to bring a little niggle between him and his wife. And I'm going to, and as he comes, oh no, this person works in blessing. Let's get out of here. Interesting. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land he's giving you. The Lord will establish you as his holy people, as he promised you on oath, if you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience, everyone say obedience, to him. You're starting to see the role of obedience in your life? We don't often talk about obedience, but I'm going to today. Verse 10, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. It's not going to be a shameful thing to be known as God's. It's going to be a victory thing. I'm not ashamed of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation for everyone who believes, right? Verse 11, the Lord will grant you, here's a good one. Some of your eyes are going to light up now. Abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb. So here's a blessing for people who maybe struggle to conceive. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity. And I love the fact it starts with children rather than money. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb. If you need prayer today about that, I'd love to pray with you after the service. The young of your livestock and the crops of your ground. Now, speaking of income and work in the land he swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens, yes please, the storehouse of his bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. Some of you need to work. Where were the amens? Some of you got to work. Some of you are lazy. God can't bless laziness. You want to know blessing? Give God something to bless, right? You will lend to many nations, but will borrow from none. You know, we spoke about debt and managing that well. Verse 13, the Lord will make you the head, not the tail. Don't know, the last thing I want to be is a tail, because you know where the tail lives. Write that one down. There's a nugget. Really? Guys, your mind's in the gutter. If you pay attention, get serious, to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top. Literally, here speaks of the tail, never at the bottom. I don't think he was meaning that, but it is funny nonetheless. Verse 14, do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. In other words, Moses is saying obedience is the thing that leads you into destiny. Obedience is the thing that moves you into his preferred future. So just maybe today you're not feeling that blessed. I want to ask, are you being obedient? Well, I think I am. Well, here's the first thing you can do if you want to grow in obedience. Study the word. Meditate on the word. You want to know what God is asking of you? He's already told you, really. So many of you just don't get anchored in the word. Louise is going to talk about this next week and it's going to be amazing. Speaking about being planted in the word. You've got to know what the promises are to walk in them, right? You've got to meditate on the law and the word of God day and night, understanding, wow, this is what it is to be blessed. And then you can make your life obedient accordingly. But more than that, well, not more than that, but as well as that, obedience is something that you grow in. Some of you might say, I never hear the Lord speak to me. Well, let me tell you, since you've been saved, and even before you were saved, he has never stopped talking to you. God is constantly speaking into your life. But so often we fill our ears with other things. Whether it be the latest series on Netflix about how to tidy your house, or whether it be posing for Instagram to get that dream moment where all your kids are not like going mental at the dinner table. All of a sudden we're filling our lives with distractions, but actually, if you want to grow in obedience, you've got to start to listen, make space in your world to go, God, what is it you're saying? Some of us would love God to speak through the earthquake and the fire and the wind, but actually I think it starts in the whisper. Learning to tune your ears to the voice of God comes through regular, constant steps of faith to try and align your life to what God is saying into your life. A few years ago, I was driving my Corsa. This is before kids. So it's like a nice little, it wasn't a boy racer number, but it was the coolest car I ever owned because it was like, it wasn't older than 10 years, so it was really cool. I was driving my car up this road, and literally as I was driving, God says, you see that man there? This is about 11:30 at night. God said, although this is what I felt God say, his name's John, and he's got a brain tumor that you need to pray for. I was like, okay, cool. Father, I just pray for John. Just pray that he would just take away the brain tumor, and somehow by a miracle that he would walk into church on Sunday. And God says, no, I want you to go and pray for John. This is not the Christianity I signed up to. Singing songs when everyone's on my side, that's cool. But going to a stranger? And anyway, I'm like, God, I'll just pray in the car because you're so good, you're so amazing, you can do that. Like, I can pray and I don't need to be with him. You can just transfer the anointing and the blessing. So, God, that's awesome. I'll just in the car. And so I drive back to the flat and God says, Nate, you've got to go back to John. And literally, I felt like the voice of God getting stronger and stronger because I was struggling. And actually, the more that you become disobedient, actually, your heart's hardened to the voice of God. And so I, wrestling on my car, and I think, okay, wait, come on, Dom. You know, at the time I was a youth minister, I was like, come on, I'm trying to teach young people here, and I can't do that in good confidence if I'm not willing to respond to the still small voice. And so I turn around the car, and I go back, and I see him again, and I slow down, and I think, oh, I'm going to do it. I mean, maybe I'll just throw a blessing out the window, do you know what I mean? Like, maybe drive so close, I just, great, like, you'd want to be careful when you drive and do that out the window, because you don't know what you're going to hit. But, you know, I'm just like, I'll just throw a blessing out. God says, no, pull over your car. And so I'm like, I can't do that, so I drive past him again. And then just to cut the story a bit shorter, I wrestle with God for a bit and then go back and I slow down. I just can't do this. At this point, he's thinking, this guy's going to kill me. Who is this crazy, like, joyrider guy? What's he doing? And eventually, I go back to the flat and I wrestle with God. And I'm like, oh, fine then. It's funny because sometimes that's how Caleb talks to me if I keep insisting, right? I get it now. Fine then. If you're not going to get off my case, I'll go and do it for the one, right? And so I turn around and he's gone. And I was like, oh, Lord, maybe you've taken him to heaven and maybe that's just awesome. And I think I've got to look for him. So I turn around a corner and he's there. And I don't know what I was thinking at the time because there's many ways that you stop a person walking. But what I've seen in films, cop films, is that you put the car on the path. So, like, I'm committed at that point. So I do that. I pull on the path. I just park my car diagonally. And John, he's like, whoa. And I jump out the car and he's like, this dude's going to kill me right now. And I'm like, all right, come on, let's do it. Right, I says, is your name John? And he's like, no. I had this thing going and you kind of let me down there. I was like, well, have you got a brain tumor? Oh, God, I hope not, he says. I was like, can I pray for you? No chance. I jumped back in the car. I prayed for him anyways. I was like, God, what is that about? I tried to move in obedience. And, oh, didn't show up. I wanted that to be another one of those testimonies where I say, is your name John? And then like just the Holy Spirit comes up and he falls on his knees and he's like, yes, my name's John and you've come to kind of, you know, bring Jesus to me and I'm so happy this is transforming my life as I speak. And just start just speaking out in tongues and like going for it and slaying in the spirit, get a modesty blanket, put it on him. And just like, I'll come back to church on Sunday and say, guys, you've got to listen to this story. Like literally the tumor just dropped into the drain and I got it here today. Look, it's there. Too much? Maybe. Instead, I had a go. It didn't work. I've learned in my few years of ministry that often people are more encouraged by failures than successes. People can relate to failure better than success sometimes. But I sat on my drive and I was like, God, what was that about? And I literally felt God say, is it not obedience if you do what I think I'm asking you to do? Something that stuck with me even from that day. Something I learned a year ago, and I kind of know exactly what God was teaching me at that point. Caleb, a year ago, when he was still into trains, built this elaborate train track around his room, going through the bookcase, going under the bed, and it just was mega. And he was loving it, and I thought, cool, that's Saturday sorted, because he'll just be up there all day. That's amazing. And I go up about an hour later, because I hear lots of banging, and he's putting it all away back into the case. I said, that took you like 2 hours to build. Why are you doing that? And he says, oh, I heard you call upstairs and ask me to put it away. I says, I didn't ask you that. And he was like, all right, can I rebuild it then? I was like, for sure. Now, in that moment as a father, I was like, wow, you did something that you thought I asked you to do. I never asked you to do it, but yet in obedience you did it. I'm telling you, I'm an earthly father, I'm fallen. But I tell you, the favor that I want to express to my son, when he thinks he's hearing what I'm saying and putting his life into alignment with it, I mean, since then now, he's learned to hear my voice or at least question my voice. Dad, did you ask me to? And even if I didn't, I'd be like, tidy your room. Yeah, I did. Tidy my room. Yeah, I did. Do the toilets and bath. Yeah, we don't have a Cinderella set up, but, you know, that would be fun. One day, maybe, when they get older. But let me tell you this. Becoming obedient to the law and words of God, right, is going to bring blessing into your life just on a practical, physical level. There is something about the 613 laws that God prescribed in the Old Testament that if you walk in accordance to them, you're going to know blessing because it's the best way to live. Okay, so there is going to... But actually, even more than that, God so loves obedience that when he sees a child being obedient to something he said, or even thinking, God, are you saying this? Now, it's important to say this. You always need to check what God is saying in accordance to his word. That's why you need to read the word. Because actually, if you hear a voice in your head that says, go and punch Phil in the face, God is like, Richard's like, yeah, true, I received that. I've got that one. I'm down with that. God, would you say that? No. But it's something that happened like a couple of years ago. I had this nice iPad Pro. I actually think it belonged to the church in hindsight, but anyways, I gave it away. I felt God say to me at the church meeting, I want you to give that iPad to that person. I was like, no, this is brand new, Lord. You don't understand how expensive these are. And God says, I want you to give it to that person. And I'm like, I don't think you heard. This is really expensive, and I really like it. I really don't want to give it away. God wrestled with me for a while. And eventually, I sought my wife's wisdom, because I thought then if she discouraged me from doing it, then she could pick that up with God one day, and it wouldn't be on me anymore. And so I said, Louise, I said, you're going to have to sit down for this, right? I feel like, you know this iPad Pro we love? I feel like God's telling me to give it away. She's like, cool. We fought over much smaller stuff than that. Why is this cool? She was like, well, if God's told you to do it, you need to do it. I was like, yeah, but what if he hasn't? Come on. Be rational. It's like £1,000. So what if he hasn't? It's just an iPad. What? There's this sense of, even if God doesn't ask me to do this, the fruit is still good. God, are you asking me to pray for that person who's struggling with depression? I'll wait until I know that you've asked me to pray before I pray. Even if God hasn't asked you to pray, but you feel that's what God's praying, the best thing I can do is pray for that. The outcome is with God, right? The fruit is with God, but obedience is on me. God's favor is drawn to children, his children, who just go, I think you're saying this, and so this is how I'm going to settle my life. Do you hear what I'm saying? Now, you could challenge me this morning. Oh, by the way, the message is called Game Changer, just to let you know. It's a good one, isn't it? It's a bit like VAR for those football fans. This changes everything, what I'm about to tell you. Because some of you might say, sat in your kind of chair this morning, Deuteronomy 28, really, that's a promise to Abraham's seed? In fact, we have this discussion a lot at staff meeting. How much of the Old Testament applies to us, right? Surely this is Abraham's seed. Can you really say, these are my blessings, I'm going to like walk in them, when actually it was given to a certain people at a certain time for a certain context, because we knew that God wanted to prosper the Israelites so that they could become an example to the nations. This is going to blow your mind, hopefully. Galatians 3, it is going to go up on the screen, but I'm going to jump around. Paul jumps into this issue directly, okay? Jumps straight into it. Doesn't apologize, speaks right into this challenge of Abraham's blessing. Are they really mine? It says this, understand then, verse 7, that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Children of Abraham. Put your hand up if you have faith this morning. You all right, Dean? What's going on with your hands? A bicycle accident. Oh, man. I just saw two casts. That was awkward then when I asked people who needed a breakthrough to raise their hands. You're like, really? I need a breakthrough. But... oh, that's bad. I'll pray for you after to make up for that. Right. Understand then that those who have faith are children of Abraham. Scripture foresaw. By the way, before I continue, this four here lead an amazing church in Hereford. Give them a huge round of applause. This is Matt and Santina. These two don't matter. No, I'm joking. Matt and Santina, lead pastors at Life Church Hereford, they're smashing it. In 1 year, they've seen 100% growth in their church, right? That's a crazy, yeah, give a huge round of applause for that. And these awesome guys serve with them faithfully. We've been spending the weekend, me and Richard have been spending the weekend with them. It's just been great having you guys. We love the fact that you're here. Sorry, I'm supposed to do that at the front end, but I just never play ball properly. We love having you. Scripture foresaw, verse 8, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith. Gentiles is anyone who isn't bloodline Jewish. So anyone who isn't the natural physical bloodline offspring of Abraham. Scripture foresaw, so the scripture saw it coming, basically, that God would justify the Gentiles by faith and announce the gospel in advance to Abraham. And here's the gospel that was announced. This is crazy. All nations will be blessed through you. Isn't the gospel like Jesus died on the cross and like rose again 3 days later, then ascended to the right hand of the God, right hand of the God, right hand of the Father? Absolutely, that's the gospel. But the gospel is way bigger. Paul says, this is the gospel that God spoke to Abraham. Listen, Abraham, I'm going to bless all the nations through you. Even still now, the world is being blessed as a result of the blessing on Israel. You may not realize how much Israel have invented for such a small nation. Phil spent some time in Israel a few weeks ago with some people from church and just came back with some real insight that was so interesting that actually many people have been blessed as a result of their innovation and ingenuity. Verse 9, so those who rely on faith, listen, are blessed along with Abraham. But isn't this passage spoken to Israel at a certain time in a certain context? Paul is saying, nah, if you've got faith, you're a child of Abraham. Verse 14, he, speaking of Jesus, redeemed us in order that the blessing given to Abraham might come to the Gentiles through Christ Jesus, so that by faith we might receive the promise of the Spirit. What's the greatest gift that God can bestow upon you? It's not £10 million, it's not a mansion in Camford Cliffs, it's not the school placement that you're praying for your kids to have, it's the Holy Spirit. Verse 16, the promises were spoken to Abraham and to his seed. Scripture does not say, and to seeds. Seeds meaning many people. But he says, and to your seed, meaning one person. Well, who's the one person? Is it Isaac? Is it Ishmael? No. It's Christ. The seed that the blessing comes through isn't a physical son of Abraham. It's one who would come in years to come, who would be an offspring of Abraham, Jesus Christ. It gets better. So in Christ Jesus, verse 26, you are all children of God through faith. You may not have any entitlement in your bloodstream that means you should be called a child of God. And it doesn't matter this week if you've been sleeping with prostitutes and snorting cocaine. This morning, you can put your faith in the seed of Abraham. And every blessing that was given to Abraham is transferred through that one seed by faith. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? For all of you who are baptized into Christ, have clothed yourselves with Christ. Here we go. Now, for Zionists in the room, you're going to hate this. There is neither Jew nor Gentile. This changes everything. Jesus is the game changer. Total game changer. Up until this point, being a Jew was everything. But now Paul is saying, through Christ now, and I'm not saying that God doesn't have a purpose for the Jews. I'm not saying that at all. But at the foot of the cross, listen to this, the ground is now even. There is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free. And if there's any of you that kind of still struggle with the man-woman role and all that sort of stuff, listen to this. Nor is there male and female. This God's rather inclusive. For you are all one in Christ. When you come to the cross and you bow the knee and you call on Jesus as your Lord, it doesn't matter whether you've been a slave for 50 years. It doesn't matter if you've been the wealthiest person on the road. It doesn't matter if you've been an alpha male or an insecure woman. It doesn't matter if you're a Jew of Jews, Hebrew of Hebrews, like Paul says, all of those credentials that he had, or whether you're a Philistine or from Samaria. You come. It doesn't matter if you've been grown up in Israel or grown up in Boscombe. You come to the foot of the cross, the ground's even. What it is like, I need to put my faith in Christ. And as that happens, God activates all the blessings on Abraham into your life. That's awesome. It's great. Yeah. I'm not going to stop until people give God a round of applause. I'll just stand here all day. Adam, do you want to put the keys? And if some of the band want to come up, that's cool. And just in case you're still a bit dull in mind, Paul says this, verse 29. If you belong to Christ, then you are Abraham's seeds and heirs according to the promise. In other words, there is a legal obligation for God to transfer this inheritance into your bank account. The blessing on Abraham transferred to his seed, Jesus Christ, that when we come in faith, we now become the seed of Abraham. I want to push this just a little bit harder. I've got 4 minutes and 50 seconds left, right? So I'm all in good time, but you know I'm going to go over. No, I'm not. 2 Corinthians 1:20. We sung about it this morning. I know God has made me a promise and it won't stop now. Da, 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 da. I know breakthrough is coming. Come on. I have faith. I see a miracle. I feel like no one's buying into that. Anyways, Paul says this, for no matter how many promises God has made, here's the thing, 613 laws given to Moses to give to the people. Moses says, listen, if you become fully compliant with the laws, the inheritance is blessing. No one could do it. Theo's on the run. He's so excited. He wants to party. Let him loose, man. Actually, no, hold on to him because it could cause havoc for me. Love Theo. 613 laws given to Moses. Moses, and Moses says to the people, if you fully obey the law, we can't obey the law. It's too difficult. That's the point. We need a mediator. We need an intercessor. We need someone who comes and stands in the gap between God and humanity and somehow transfers the blessings of Abraham. This is why it's important that the law of God is not obsolete. Because if the law of God is obsolete, then the promises of God are obsolete. But if the law is fulfilled, then the promises are what? Pardon? Pardon? It's not getting louder. Pardon? The word I'm looking for is fulfilled. Pardon? Fulfilled. If the law is obsolete, the promises are obsolete. But if the law is fulfilled, changes everything. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. This is why I'm like down here and I'm like going for it. And I'm shouting and I'm wolfing and everything. I don't care if I look like an absolute mug. I do not give one. Because I understand that in my deficit and dysfunction, God in His grace has poured the blessing of Abraham into my world. And He goes way beyond the bank account. Goes into my relationships, goes into my work, goes into my health. It flows into every facet of my life through faith. Even when I'm facing difficulty, hardship, and a diagnosis that is contrary to that, by faith, I'm saying, no. You made me a promise and it's not going to stop now. For no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And here's the important bit, 2 minutes to land. And so through Him, the amen is spoken by who? Spoken by who? Read your Bibles. Us. Us. Paul is saying this. God made a promise. Jesus said yes to the promise. But just because Jesus says yes to the promise doesn't mean that we walk in the promise. We then have to say amen to the promise. In other words, God spoke it. Jesus paid it. We receive it by faith. Let it be done. Let it be so. Do you understand? The blessed life. Nothing you can do. But totally through faith in Christ Jesus. So it's time to grow your faith this morning. So stand to your feet. Come on, stand to your feet. Come on. God is so good, isn't He? Wow. So good. Open your hands this morning. I'm going to pray a blessing into your world. But listen. We have to understand that just because Jesus paid it, we have to receive it. So that through Him, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. So let me say this. And at the end of it, I want you to shout with your loudest voice, with open hands, amen, okay? You will be blessed in the city, blessed in the country. The fruit of your womb will be blessed, and the crops of your land and the young of your livestock, the calves of your herds and the lambs of your flocks. Your basket and your kneading trough will be blessed. You'll be blessed when you come in and blessed when you go out. The Lord will grant that the enemies who rise up against you will be defeated before you. They will come at you from one direction but flee from you in seven. The Lord will send a blessing on your barns and on everything you put your hand to. The Lord your God will bless you in the land He is giving you. The Lord will establish you as His holy people as He promised you on oath. If you keep the commands of the Lord your God and walk in obedience to Him, then all the peoples on earth will see that you are called by the name of the Lord and they will fear you. The Lord will grant you abundant prosperity in the fruit of your womb, the young of your livestock and the crops of your ground in the lands He swore to your ancestors to give you. The Lord will open the heavens and storehouse of His bounty to send rain on your land in season and to bless all the work of your hands. You will lend to many nations but will borrow from none. The Lord will make you the head and not the tail. If you pay attention to the commands of the Lord your God that I give you this day and carefully follow them, you will always be at the top, never the bottom. Do not turn aside from any of the commands I give you today, to the right or to the left, following other gods and serving them. And all the church said, amen. Come on.